Welcome back. Let a few more folks get in and get settled. We'll get right to the second half of music here for this set. Alan Jabor is coming out next. Alan Jabor was teaching fiddle lore this week. I think it's really good planning to have at least one class that rhymes with the instructor's name at each week at Augusta. Of course, Alan Jabor has been director of the Folklife Center at the Library of Congress since its inception in 1976. He has just retired from there, and of course, the work of the Library of Congress, the archives there, some of the things that he collected and had a hand in compiling into the various anthologies and the music is a lot of the way that a lot of us first heard it and learned about it, so we owe him a great debt of gratitude, I believe. He has recently retired from there and tells me that he's looking forward to be able to sit back and play all that music that he's been collecting and overseeing and taking care of us all for so long. I think I don't need to say a whole lot more about him. So how about just welcome Alan Jabor.
Thanks. Didn't take it very long, did it? Play this first and tell you about it later. Thanks. I'll get warmed up presently. That's a tune that I learned from Henry Reed, and I played it earlier for a set, and got it on my mind, and I thought I'd share it with everybody. It's a tune that doesn't have a name, unfortunately, and Henry Reed had quite a few tunes that don't have names, and some of them, we musicians who learned tunes from him started naming ourselves, and the names are floating around the country. Names that we cooked up just to keep them apart in our heads. And others we still haven't named, and that one is is waiting for a name, and I'm open to suggestions. A great old tune, though. And this next tune is also a Henry Reed tune, but it does have a name. It's called George Booker. It was originally a Scottish Strathspey, but now it's sort of recast as a good old American breakdown. George Booker was a sort of a Revolutionary War, a minor hero, I'll call him. And he was known in Virginia, good enough to name a fiddle tune after. So we got rid of the Marquis of Huntley, and what do we care about those lairds and ladies anyway, and we got George Booker in there instead. But it's a great old tune, and though it's now a sort of a Virginia breakdown, it still has a little of the Scottish character to it, I think. I better stop while I was ahead on that one. A great tune, but a hard one. I'll do an easy one then. This is a tune named after a creek, Shootin' Creek. Shootin' Creek is a creek that starts up on the Blue Ridge, right on the top of the Blue Ridge, at the Floyd County, Franklin County line. And it sort of cascades down the side of the mountain into the Virginia Piedmont, into Franklin County. There's a road going down it. I don't know, maybe somebody here has actually driven that road. It's a beautiful, beautiful road going down back through a back hollow, going down all the way down the side of the mountain. And Shootin' Creek, this tune sounds like it to me when I hear it. It has that sort of creek going down the mountain feel to it. Shootin' Creek has other legends associated with it. It was the famous creek for moonshine whiskey even during Prohibition, and it's no accident that one of the great places for stock car racing is in Martinsville, which is right down near the bottom of Shootin' Creek. Stock car racing sort of picked up from running from the revenuers back in those days, but I'm getting into my folklore class now, and we're not about fiddle lore now, we're about fiddling, so here's the creek itself. ¶¶ put it to you. Oh, thank you. Now, I could get through that one. Here's a tune I don't know if I can get through, but it's worth a try anyway. There's a great old Scottish reel called Money Musk. It's played in Scotland, but it's also been played in America ever since probably the late 18th century. And it's still popular in Canada, in North America, in the northern part of America. But actually in the South, it's pretty well died out and nobody plays it anymore. Nobody that I've heard plays it except Henry Reed. And Henry Reed did have a version of it. It's a pretty spectacular version. Most versions of it are two parts. And as I said in my fiddle class, it starts on the low part and then it has the high part afterwards, typical fiddle tune. But in the South, they tend to turn those things around. And so Henry Reed's version starts up with the high part and then it plays the low part. But then it plays yet another part and then yet another part. So it was as if a simple little classic fiddle tune became a sort of a tone poem, an essay in Henry Reed's hands. And I'll do my best to struggle through it here so that maybe you'll get a sense of that tone poem or essay. I thank you kindly. Well, let me close out with one sort of, there's some fiddle tunes that are sort of hell-raising tunes, and if you'll indulge me, I'll raise a little hell here. And this tune is a tune I learned in the Piedmont of North Carolina, and it's one of many tunes named Liza Jane. Well, there are many tunes named Liza Jane. There's actually probably many people named Liza Jane as well, and this may be actually about different Liza Janes. We'll never know that, but I think we all know a good tune when we hear it, and this is one of them. I love it. I love it especially because it's one of those tunes that doesn't end on the tonic. It just sort of ends on the... So it just constantly sort of goes around and round and round until finally I stop. And when I stop, you'll applaud and I'll leave, but the fiddle tune will go on. Thank you very much.
Mr. Alan Jabor. Tonight's concert, throughout the concert, and really throughout the week, we've heard a lot about tradition and the heritage that goes with this kind of music and all the things that go on around here. And of course, that's what Alan's class is all about, not just the fiddle tunes, but where they came from and what they were all about. And I've often thought there's a reason we come to West Virginia for this stuff, because of course this is where the culture, there's so much of interesting kind of the whole mountain culture and everything about it. But Augusta has kind of its own culture too. One of the things that we create a little not quite traditional world here, because we're talking about all these things, but at the same time we're coming from all these other places. And there are certain kind of Augusta traditions. I was thinking, so, you know, you've got your Augusta outfit, you've got your Augusta clothes, there's certain stuff that you bring here. Oh, that reminds me of another clue for going home. You have to start sorting your colored clothes and whites again. And you probably need more than two pairs of shorts and three t-shirts. When you get back home, unless you've been here for dance week, in which case you need fewer clothes when you get home. So that was my other thought on that matter. But anyhow, Augusta tradition, I don't know, there's, during Old Time Week, Eileen Carson does this great roots and rhythm thing. In the last several years, we've had a party. Her class comes, does a presentation for us. It's something we look forward to every year. There were a few years where there was a hammer dulcimer salsa merengue jam that we all kind of waited in fear for, you know, when that would appear. Just those kind of Augusta things. And there's one tradition that that I have been really happy to be able to perpetuate while I'm here. I worked at one point at Augusta. You know, did I ever introduce myself? My name's Martha Tyner. Most of you know that already. That just now occurred to me. Most of you know that, and those who have been here in the past know that for a time I worked for Augusta year-round. I was here in Elkins, and during that time was my first opportunity to MC a concert. And to come up with things to tell people about, one of the things I did was just kind of root through the office and come up with bits of statistics and information about, you know, we have people here from X number of states and how many are here, and things like the name of the Iron Horse, which is Kentucky, by the way. And the things like, you know, the distance I figured once, and now I've kind of forgotten, to drive from the back of the Hermanson Center to the front of the Hermanson Center to walk is 238 feet, to drive is 3.5 miles, you know, whatever. Little things like that. I'm kind of out of touch now. I haven't been here year-round for the last, nearly 10 years, 9 years, but I've made it back almost every summer. So there is one important bit of information that I have made it a point of learning again every year that I never want to forget, and that, of course, is the average zip code of the participants at Augusta this week. And indeed, this year, the average zip code of the participants here at week 5 is 27616, which I figure somewhere, I don't know, Virginia or someplace. I didn't get a chance to look this up. One year I got in kind of an argument with somebody out there about whether it was the median or the average. This is the average, so just to make sure, I checked on the median, which is 25701. So they're surprisingly close together. But the other thing I did want to make sure to figure out, the average zip code of the Fiddlers is 35591, which is Vernon, Alabama. And the average of the banjo players, the average zip code is 32195, which is Wersdale, Florida. So we got to get some Westerners out here. All I can say is, you know, head for the East Coast if you want to hear the music. But, you know, these guys are so fast. I needed to tell you, what I should have been telling you during this time is about the festival. I did mention it earlier. Don't forget tomorrow night, the singer-songwriter showcase, which will go on here in the auditorium. At the same time, there's a dance out at the dance pavilion. If you don't have a badge, you get a festival ticket, which gets you to both events. You can go back and forth, whichever. Then on Saturday, of course, all day down at the city park, just at the bottom of the hill, when you come off of campus, you're in the park. Incredible craft fair. Music going on all day at several different venues. Just great stuff. And then a concert back here Saturday night, and then Sunday morning in the chapel, we all go for a gospel sing, and there's not a dry eye in the house, and it's just the fabulous weekend of your life. Tomorrow night at that dance, the band play, tonight there's a dance too, so don't forget, right after this concert, you can head straight out to the back door and the dance pavilion up the hill. Dot Kent will be calling a dance with Chirp Smith and friends that he's gathered up. Then tomorrow night, you can dance to our next performers that are coming up. The Rhythm Rats are playing next. The Rhythm Rats have been together since 1988. They have one CD currently available called I Believe I'll Go Back Home. I sort of knew them as a band from Ohio, but I'm told they now live in 3 separate states, but that doesn't stop them from coming together and still being a great string band. They've been at the dance party every day this week, and they'll be at the dance party this weekend. And it's Kenny Jackson on fiddle, Whit Mead on the banjo, Paula Bradley on the guitar. Please welcome the Rhythm Rats.
Is everybody having fun? All right. Well, we know since it's Augusta that for this evening the fun has just started, right? Because gosh, there's 12 more hours and 2 more hours in this day, but we know that the day doesn't stop at midnight. Not here.
No way.
Time is suspended.
Yeah. Shall we try something?
Let's try something.
Thank you.
I would like to try an old-time fiddle tune here. This is from, I learned it from a recording of a fiddler named John Morgan Salyer from McGuffin County, Kentucky, one of my favorite old fiddlers on tapes. This is one called Lonesome John.
There's been a lot of great classes this week, and we've had the pleasure of being involved in one. Kenny and I have been playing for Dolores' clogging class, which has been a lot of fun. Also know there's a finger-picked, having a good authority, there's a finger-picked banjo class out there. And we're going to do one and have Kenny pick the banjo and have Whit play some fiddle for you. This is from Doc Boggs, who's one of our favorite banjo players. And I think in tomorrow's class, you finger-pick banjo people, you will talk about Doc Boggs and learn a tuning and a tune.
All right.
Probably not this one. This is called The Prodigal Son, and this is on our CD that Martha was so kind to mention, which is for sale out front.
Satisfied. I believe I
Sing another one here that we actually learned from.